football, the legends, the history, the here and now. Welcome back to the Game Before the Money with Jackson Michael.
Dan Fouts was gracious enough to interview by phone earlier this week. You can hear the full interview on the Game Before the Money podcast. I gave you a lot of background about the 1981 AFC playoff game between the Chargers and Dolphins. Don Coryell was head coach of the Chargers at that time. Before Don Coryell was head coach of the San Diego Chargers, future San Francisco 49ers head coach Bill Walsh was the offensive coordinator for the San Diego Chargers. And Fouts will share some of his memories of Coach Walsh in this interview as well. Here's Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts.
And in 1976, the Chargers hired Bill Walsh as their offensive coordinator.
That was another dream come true. Walsh was fantastic. He just basically broke my game down and rebuilt it from the ground up. And by that, I mean, the footwork, timing, the reads involved, just all the things that he wanted in a quarterback that would lead to success. And if you think back on the quarterbacks that he worked with, Greg Cook and Virgil Carter and Kenny Anderson, and of course, Montana and Young, you see a lot of similarities in the way that those quarterbacks played and obviously in the success that they had.
Yeah, definitely. Now that I think about it, your footwork and Joe Montana's footwork did have some similarities to it, as I picture it in my head.
Well, I take that as a great compliment because I think Montana was one of the smoothest ever. I think if you look at Anderson and Montana, you'll see a lot more similarities because they're just both of them tremendous athletes and very, very smooth.
Jumping to 78. Don Coryell comes in a few games into the season. What was his early message to the team there? I think you guys had a losing record at the time, but I think you've ended up 8-4 with him.
I think we were 1-3 at the time. So yeah, 9-7, that makes sense. He came in and he just gave us an attitude and it was like a breath of fresh air because one of the first things he said that to us in the team meeting is that people think I'm crazy to coach you guys to take this job because you're 1-3, you haven't won any games in a long time. And the thing is that I may be crazy, but we all got to be crazy to play this game. And we all started laughing. we are crazy. And okay, well, let's go out and have some fun then. And he didn't immediately change the offense, but each week he added a little bit. And each time he added something, it worked. And so we were hungry for him to add and add and add and add. And he did, and that's why we kept building on, the success that we had.
That's really neat to hear because usually you think about, the Air Coryell offense and hearing about it, you'd expect it just to be plugged in all right away, but it was brought in increments, it sounds like.
Well, that first year, you take over middle of the year or the beginning of the year, and so you would be asking a lot of your players. And as you mentioned, the success we had is because he did add it incrementally. But the other thing that he did is that he studied what we had done with Bill Walsh and the concepts of sideline to sideline short passing game. And, he said, we're going to use that stuff. We're going to use that and we're going to combine it with my stuff. And so now all of a sudden we have the beauty of the West Coast offense and the beauty of the Air Coryell offense, which stretches the length of the field. And so we had the field covered.
Oh, wow. That's really insightful. Because I definitely remember you guys stretching the field from side to side, especially with short passes to the running backs in the flat.
Yep.
This week, the Dolphins and Chargers are playing. One of the greatest games that I can remember is the 1981 divisional playoff between you and Miami. What was your attitude going into that game on the road? And did you expect to jump out to a big lead like that?
No. Yeah, I mean, we're on the attack all the time, but to get to 24-0 in the first quarter, that, you know, we got special teams play out of that. We got defensive interception out of that. We took advantage of our field position and, you know, kind of, you know, knocked them back on their heels. But you don't go into a game ever thinking you're going to do that. It was a playoff game, and playoff games are special because it's win or go home, and nobody wants to go home. So they didn't want to go home, and that's why they fought back and played a great game.
Yeah, by halftime, it was 24-17 after the hook and ladder play. What did you guys talk about at halftime? Were you guys stunned, or were you guys just kind of like, well, we still have the lead?
At halftime, usually you just want to know what we're going to do next. And so the coaches spend some time with themselves as the players are just kind of resting. And then the last couple of minutes of halftime, they get the chalkboard out and they start saying, okay, well, this is what we're going to run on first down, on second down, on third down, and just go through the game plan and, you know, make the adjustments that they saw in the first half. But there's very little time, really, and really pep talks don't do you any good. All players want to know is, what do we do next? They don't want to be yelled at. They just want to know, you know, call some good plays.
Now, one of the best plays that you ran in that second half was that touchdown pass over the middle to Winslow in the third quarter. What was the plan behind that?
Well, you know, actually, it was a double move by Winslow. We'd thrown him a couple of out routes, and he ran a good route. He faked to the outside and then cut back to the post, and that's, you know, what the play called for. But the key play that was made was by John Cappelletti, our fullback. His job basically was a free release to go out into the flat, but he saw the corner blitz, and he nailed the blitzer, and not only nailed the blitzer, but nailed him into two other guys that were rushing the passer. So a phenomenal play by Cappy to come off his route and recognize the blitz, and that gave me time to find Winslow.
Oh wow, that is incredible! Yeah, there's so many. They say that football is the ultimate team sport, and that really is an ultimate example of it.
Yeah, well, if you ever watch the game and you want to look at that play, just watch what Cappelletti does. It's phenomenal.
And I'm definitely look forward to doing that. And then you got the ball back with, I guess, about 4.5 minutes left. And you guys need a tie. I guess you got it after a fumble. Louis Kelcher forced a fumble.
Yep.
What were you telling the guys in the huddle? What was the attitude like once you got the ball back?
Well, you know, it's nothing really to say. These guys aren't stupid. They can see the clock and the score and where we are on the field. And they just want to know what the play is. And so, I would encourage them. I'd say, okay, here we go. So what we need to do, and here's the play. And that's the way it worked with us. I mean, again, a pep talk at that point is just a waste of breath. And, guys just want to know, let's go.
Yeah, I guess they have to be motivated at that point, no matter what.
Well, it's win or go home.
Yeah. And you end up hitting James Brooks for a touchdown. Do you remember the secret behind that play, or what the plan was?
Well, I do, and it was a pass intended for Winslow. I was forced out of the pocket, and I thought I could lob it to Winslow, but he was, I think he was just out of gas at that point because he was so phenomenal the whole game. And Brooks made a brilliant play. Once I escaped out of the pocket, he recognized it and really kind of paralleled me, and I didn't see him at all because I wasn't looking for him. I was looking for Winslow, and you know, basically overthrew Winslow, but there was JB right there making the catch. It was just a really, you talk about football IQ, that's what football IQ is, recognizing a situation and finding a solution.
Oh yeah, mid play and in the middle of win or go home.
Yep.
Winslow, you know, of course he blocked an extra point. He had 166 yards receiving.
He blocked a field goal.
Yeah, that's right. He blocked a field goal at the end. That's right. It was a field goal. That's right.
And then Leroy Jones blocked another field goal.
Oh, so you guys had two blocked field goals in that game.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
one right after the other.
That's, you know, they say, you know, offense, defense, special teams, it takes all three.
Yeah, you could write a whole book about that game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What was Kellen Winslow, you know, he was exhausted coming off the field. I'm sure everybody was exhausted after that game. How long did it take to recover from that game? Was it because it was so long? Did it still affect you the next week in Cincinnati?
I don't think so, but there was a lot of travel involved. You know, when we would travel to the east, anytime we crossed the Mississippi River, we had to refuel because our plane was so small that we were flying in. So both Cincinnati and Miami are across the Mississippi. So our trips were long, there's no question.
Oh, wow. So your chartered flight always had to stop for gas mid-flight on cross-country trips?
That's right.
Wow, there you go. Another example of why this is called the game before the money. If you can imagine the Chargers flight needing to stop midway on a trip to Cincinnati to get fuel. And some great insight from Dan Fouts. I watched that Kellen Winslow touchdown on the internet, and you can definitely see John Cappelletti make an incredible block on the play. One of the Blackwood brothers was blitzing for Miami, and Cappelletti blocks him into a cluster of players. And like Dan Fouts has said, it disrupted a good portion of the Dolphins' pass rush right there. Remember, you can hear the full interview with Dan Fouts on the Game Before the Money podcast. I'm Jackson Michael. This is the Game Before the Money. Visit thegamebeforethemoney.com and check out the Game Before the Money podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.